It's time!
Ladies and gentlemen, yet another installment of Pound for Pound. I am your A-host for this week, Mali Dembele. I have alongside me Zach Cordova and William Jing. I gotta say, it's only July, but it feels like Christmas. We had a great episode last time with Minty Betts. Hope she's doing the best. That kind of rhymes there. But we have another great episode here. It's gonna be a full boxing card. I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling pretty excited. Will, Zach, how are we doing, guys?
Doing good, man. Sorry, Will, go
ahead. What did I say? I don't know. I've been sick the past week, but almost fully recovered, so I'm happy about that. What about you, Zach?
I'm doing good, man. A little vacation vibes for me right now. I am in Florida. I see that it is very hot for you guys back over there in New York. I am also currently just sweating it out over here in Florida because it is 90-something degrees with like 70% humidity, so anything to get me out of the heat, I will take this chance, and I'd love to talk some boxing with you guys.
Indeed, indeed. You know, I got to say, boxing, there's just something about it. I mean, it's the metaphor of life, but that's enough talking for me. Let's just hop right into it. I think we're actually going to start at the top of this card. We're going to go Shakur Stevenson versus Artem in the first discussion here. I mean, like, it was highly anticipated. We saw what Shakur Stevenson looked like in his last fight against Edwin de los Santos. A lot of people said it was a very, very boring fight. Shakur Stevenson even went into that fight saying that he was injured and he knew that he was going to win, but it probably wouldn't be his best performance. And it was a huge snoozer. Coming into the second one, we were all looking for the question, what is Shakur Stevenson really? Is he going to be able to knock Artem out? Because Artem's another guy who's been known for running. Just look at his last fight against, not his last fight, but a fight he had previously against Frank Martin, where he was winning and he also took the knee. So you have two guys with similar personalities. Who comes out of this? Shakur Stevenson does. But again, it's the second boring fight in a row, in a fight where Shakur actually performed well. So guys, initial thoughts, initial reactions, since we didn't get to talk about it last week, and what's the outlook and the outset for one Shakur Stevenson?
I mean, man, we got another, I don't want to say it, but I'll say it, we got another stinker from Shakur Stevenson. It was just, and I wouldn't say it's a bad performance from him. He went out there and he won. He did what he needed to do. He defended his title and he got past yet another contender. But the question now remains, because his name is now on the top of the bill for every card he fights on. He is a star in the boxing world, especially in the division that he is in, where it is stacked with names. I mean, you got Tank Davis in the division. You got Loma in that division, I believe. There's a lot of really good fighters in this division and guys who have put on exciting performances, especially with Tank. Tank is knocking everybody out, making statements, becoming the face of boxing, as a lot of people think he is. And a lot of people are waiting for Shakur to have that moment, try to step up for him to make his claim to be the face of boxing. That's been a major conversation over the past years. Who's leading this new wave of boxing? And Shakur Stevenson, with his past performance, doesn't really help his case at all. I did see, however, I can't remember the exact numbers or the exact statistics for it, but there was something to do with it being one of the higher viewed boxing cards on national television in a very long time. And that's a positive thing for the sport, but it also doesn't help Shakur Stevenson's, I guess you can say, campaign to being the face of boxing when he's putting on performances where people are leaving in the sixth round before it's even over. So I don't want to say bounce back because he won, but I'd like to see Shakur Stevenson, you know, maybe make it a little bit more of a fight next time he's in there. Maybe try to be a little bit more fan friendly. I mean, that's what people are paying for their tickets for, is to see a fight. And his past two fights have not really been a fight. It's been a, let me just pick at you and point my way to victory. I think we want to see really what Shakur Stevenson can do. And I think he's capable of putting on a highlight reel performance. So that's what I want to see from him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Personally, just watching this fight, I feel like Artem actually had the upper hand pretty early on. And I feel like the momentum shifted a little bit midway through, and it was like, it never really seemed like Shakur dominated, but it just seemed like Artem slowly got tired throughout at the end. And it wasn't like, again, it wasn't like Shakur dominated late in the fight, but he just started to slowly take that momentum back. And so I think that's how he pulled off the win. But Honestly, I was a little bit surprised while watching it back that Shakur actually walked out with the win, just looking at what actually occurred. I know going into the fight he was the favorite, but watching the actual fight, it didn't seem like it seemed like it was pretty like neck and neck as far as who could walk out on top.
Yeah, Will, actually, that's not a bad point. It's something that I've heard other people say. I don't know if I disagree or not, but it's something that's definitely out there. I think Artem was perhaps the more active fighter, but Shakur picked his shots more clearly. And they say, and boxing judging is so weird. So that's probably why that he was able to walk away with it. Zach, I thought you brought up a good point. I mean, like you look at 135, Shakur has aspirations to even move up to 140, where all the real killers are. Teofimo, you talk about Devin Haney, who's still around. Ryan Garcia, Subriel Matias, that division at super lightweight is insane. He didn't have power coming from 126, where he cleared the division. He doesn't have power at 135 even now, but I think more so it's a mentality thing. I think Artem was there for the taking, and Shakur just, he just doesn't have that kill. I don't want to say killer instinct, but he doesn't have the, I don't even know if it's IQ either, because Shakur is a defensive wizard. I don't think he has the that carnal, like I'll say carnal instinct to go out and to knock a guy out. And when you're looking for bigger fights, I mean, at this moment, Shakur is not a pay-per-view star. I don't know how much we back home in your city, the brick city of Newark, New Jersey, your mentor Bud Crawford's falling asleep. And I'm disappointed in Bud because Bud has to be more honest with him. He's telling him to go win. It's okay. Don't listen to the fans. The fans pay for the pay-per-view. And if you want to be a pay-per-view star, Shakur, you got to be able to put on a massive, massive performance. I heard Shakur say that he said F the fans in reference to Devin Haney. I mean, like, that's bad advice to take. And it's just a bad mindset to have. So Shakur's going to have to definitely change his approach there. Guys, any final thoughts?
I mean, I agree with you in terms of that, and I also think that I don't want to say it's not that he has the mentality to knock somebody out. It's just we see it happen a lot when people become champion. We see it when they become superstars, especially in boxing, where it's such a slippery slope in terms of losing your O or just losing, period. It's such a big deal in boxing, and I think a lot of guys, once they reach the top, they reach the pinnacle, they kind of. They get a they become afraid of losing it. They don't want to lose because a loss signifies, at least in boxing, the kind of culture around it is if you lose, you're kind of yesterday's news. You're no longer the face of boxing. You're no longer a top guy. If you lose, people like to throw people to the side and just say they're a bum. So I think that's something that one needs to change about boxing. And two, I think needs to change about the mentality of the fighters is I'm not going in there to not try to, I'm not going in there to try to not lose. I'm going in there to win and take it forcibly. And that's something that I think a lot of these fighters at the top, especially Shakur, needs to kind of adapt or adopt that mentality is I'm going in there to take this and put a statement out there. And I think that's
Yeah.
what he needs to do going forward.
And by the way, that's what I mean by that instinct. Like, I gotta go get this guy. If he's not coming to me, I gotta go get him. I agree. I
You're the
mean,
champion. You got to move forward and you got to go take it from you. You got to show everyone why you're the champion. Sorry to cut you off a little bit. Just
yeah,
quick.
personally for me, I think that another concern for people that are at that stage is longevity. 'Cause you start thinking about like, a couple bad hits could take you out for a long time. So, at that stage, it's like, all right, I'm at the top. It's not just about let me not lose. It's about let me stay healthy so I can milk this as much as I can. And so, I mean, I feel like on the flip side as well, it's, I mean, I guess not really on the flip side, but for the boxers, it's also just like, it's just playing it smart. But then it's like and it's not like, if you just think about it as far as winning and losing goes, you don't really care, obviously, about the fans because you're focused on getting in there and coming out with the win, whether it's by decision or by a KO, and whether the fans are entertained or not. But at the same time, the fans also do pay your bills essentially because they fill the seats. So while like initially, thinking about it, it's like common sense, like yeah, like who cares about the fans? Then when you take it to the next step, you start to be like, wait, yes, they might not affect my skill and my resume, but they do affect the amount of money that goes in my pocket. And that aspect of longevity. So I feel like there is two sides of this coin.
And just to add further to that, because I know, Will, you're a big wrestling guy. Obviously, the guys who are there to put on a show and put on a show, they deliver, they get more fans. They get more people supporting them. They become a bigger star. And if you're going to be fan friendly, you got to go out there and appease the fans. And it's weird to say that too, to be like, oh, well, these athletes need to do better because us fans expect more. But you're right. The fans pay their paychecks, and these guys are going out there, and he's the champion. He's got to act like the champion. He's got to perform like the champion. Go out there and make a statement, prove to everyone why you're the champion. You might be muted, buddy.
I always do that. I did that last episode. So sorry, guys.
But
A lot to
tech
be.
difficulties over Zoom. We will be back in the studio pretty soon.
Yes,
So
we
no
will.
more of that. There's
Yes, we
no more of
will.
that in a couple, in like a month.
I won't have to press any buttons, but yeah, a lot to be said on the outlook of Shakur Stevenson and what he's gonna look like going forward. But someone who's already present and here in the minds of everyone is one Abdullah Mason. I mean, guys, 20 years of age, just turned 20, younger than all of us. It reminds me of an Errol Spence with the high guard. He's a natural counter puncher. If you come to me, beats the hell out of you, and he has power in both of his hands. Fights on the front foot. If he was a gym, he'd be Kronk, offensive style, coming to get you, guys. I mean, like Abdullah Mason, is he the best prospect in boxing? I mean, I'm thinking of Shushu Carrington. I'm thinking of Andy Cruz. I'm thinking of Keyshawn Davis. But it may be the baby of the bunch who might have it. So, what do we think about that?
Yeah, man, I think Abdullah Mason's an absolute star. That performance now, I mean, it's not just this performance, but this is his third fight now this year. And I'm thinking back to the Benjamin Grement fight earlier this year with maybe the knockout of the year. And then we're talking about in the past fight about a guy being defensive and kind of pointing his way to victory and not going to take it. Abdullah Mason, every time he's in the ring, looks like he's in there to take whoever's in
Heads
front of
off.
him out. Yeah,
Heads off.
exactly. And it's fan friendly, and he's also just forcibly making his way to the top. He's making a statement, and every time he goes in there, he's made a statement. And he keeps doing that. He's going to find himself with a title sometime soon, or at least a shot for a title sometime soon.
I mean, he looked really good in that last fight against Lewis LeBron. He just basically dominated the whole fight. There was nothing going the other way, and he's definitely on a trajectory to the top. I don't know exactly where he lands among the top, but he's young, he has time, and so I think he's got a future in boxing for sure.
Guys, are we reaching unk status? This guy is 20 years old, if I read that right.
I
I
mean,
am a year older than
I'm
him.
20. Me and him are the same age, but I don't know what I'm
Man.
doing with my life. I will say, Abdullah Mason, yeah, again, like, just like from start to finish, every fight goes in his way. And when you hear him talk, him and his brothers, because they're a family of four of those boys. Abdul Rahim is his other brother. I forget the name of the other two, but they're a fighting family. They all train together. You hear the way they talk. I just want to take care of my family. He doesn't talk trash. I can't wait for a future fight against him and Floyd Schofield, Kid Austin. That's gonna be dynamite there. But Abdullah Mason, I do think he will get knocked out some point in his career, because when you fight like that, I gotta get him out of here. Okay, I'm going for his head. Maybe you'll get caught. But as a fan, I absolutely love that. Abdullah Mason is one of those guys, win, lose, or draw. If he touches the canvas or if he puts another guy to the canvas, you're gonna love him. And he's only 20 years of age. He's gonna be here for a very, very long time. But another dude who's even younger than Abdullah Mason, Floyd Mayweather's very own TBE, Kermell Monton. I call him Melly. Because he when he steps into the ring, he has murder on his mind. Kermell Monton, in his last performance, I mean, he just looks like a young Floyd. Rips to the body, power shots, fast as hell. I mean, guys, what do you think of him? Where does he look in the new school of these new up and coming boxers?
You could take this one first, Will.
I think he also had a dominating fight. So like it's the same as for him as goes for Abdullah Mason. It wasn't like Shakur Stevenson, who we mentioned earlier, who was kind of back and forth. These two were kind of just like from start to end, it was just they never lost momentum. I think Kermell Monton took a little bit longer than Abdullah Mason to gain the momentum in his fight. Like the fight kind of started 50-50, but then it just felt like once he got the upper hand, it was over. Like he was in control the rest of the way. I mean, again, these two are both very young fighters, and it's hard to see now exactly where they land in the future. But being so young, both of them being younger than me, which is kind of like weird to say, as you guys mentioned, like these guys are, as long as they play it smart and they're able to, get the money out of this industry, they're going to be around for a long time. And being trained by Floyd Mayweather, like one of the greatest fighters of all time. I mean, that's another huge asset for Carmelo Moten. And as long as he uses that to his advantage, like, dude, for all we know, this guy could end up being better. I mean, that's a long shot, but being 18 years old and firing away like that, like, there was times when Floyd wasn't even doing that. There was times when Floyd was kind of a like Shakur, kind of like ducking away and kind of just, taking his time. So, I mean, who knows? Carmelo might be destined for more.
Yeah, and I think one of the bigger things now is coverage. We see guys now on national television more frequently. We have more streaming sources. We can see these fights all the time whenever we want on demand. It's just more coverage. And Carmelo Moten is now four fights into his professional career. I've seen all four of them now on TV, and he's killed it every time he's been in the ring. The guy is a killer, and he's at 18 years old. And go ahead, Marty. I see you have something you want to say,
There
dude.
is a question that I do have, because the two fights that stick out to me is the recent fight against Nikolai Buzolin, where, I mean, just like I say again, like young Floyd, like rips the body extremely hard, like fights on the front foot, immense power when healthy. That's the thing people forget about Floyd. Before he had the hand injuries and before he made the shift to money, I mean, Pretty Boy was a monster. Pretty Boy was coming to take your head off. And the Anthony Kuba fight, like Carmelo Moten. There's one problem though, and it's something that's been on a lot of minds of many boxing fans. We call it silk pajamas. Once this guy eventually reaches the top, then he won't be taking fights, and he'll be ducking guys, and he'll play more so of the business side of boxing. And having Floyd Mayweather as the guy who's really controlling your career, I mean, like, is that something that we can expect? Because we know what money did. Money was more so of the business side of Floyd Mayweather. There was a bunch of fights we wish we could have saw when he was in his prime, but they just didn't happen because Floyd played it the smart way. Do you see that kind of trajectory for one Carmelo Moten? Is that something that's going to happen, or do you think he might break the mold and break away from Floyd?
He might. And I think it's very possible because we saw a similar thing going on with Tank Davis. At the end of the day, Floyd's a businessman. He knows how to get his money. That's what he did. Talked about it his whole career. What do I specialize in? Legalized bank robbery. Does over and over again. He knows how to do it. He knows how to play the field. And he did the same thing, like I said, with Tank, with the Ryan Garcia fight. Floyd's idea, let's add the weight discrepancy. Let's add the rehydration clause. It's not just all about money. It's about ways you could tweak it in your favor when you get to the highest level. Well, this guy's going to come down and fight my guy. He's a naturally bigger guy. Okay, now let's add a rehydration clause. That way he's not at too much of a disadvantage because this other guy's so much bigger. Now we've got an even playing field because I believe my guy's better on an even playing field. I think it's good to have Floyd in your corner for things like that. But like you say, as he gets to the top, as he becomes a bigger name, the money starts flowing in, the pay-per-view cards are have his name on it. What does Floyd do? What does he add? How does he change the way that Carmelo Moten fights? And I don't want to see the way that he fights change because of money. And we see that so commonly. Money influences everything. And
Money and staying undefeated.
yeah, and staying undefeated in boxing. The way he fights right now, it's exciting. He's powerful. Nobody wants to stand in front of him. And like Will said, this fight started off with I'm blanking on the name now on his opponent, but it starts off close because this is a guy with experience. He's a veteran. He's fighting somebody who's 18 years old. And he's thinking, all right, I'm supposed to be the bigger man. I'm supposed to be the guy with more experience. I'm supposed to show him how it's done. But Carmelo Moten just asserts himself. He's powerful. He's sharp. He's fast. And immediately asserts himself and he takes over and his opponent immediately recognizes, hey, I'm not supposed to be in the ring with this guy. And that's the thing, that's the way I love about his fight style is he's just pressure, pressure, pressure in your face. I know I hit harder. I'm gonna take you out before you take me out. And I don't want to see the way he approaches the fight diff change because of money, but it's possible. I really do think it's possible, especially with Floyd in your corner, with the guy who's a businessman, he knows how to run the tables.
I also think it's especially possible. I think this is not just boxing, but this goes with any sport, any business. It's like when X company, when X person, product, whatever is going to the top and when it's rising through the ranks, that's usually when it's best, because once it gets to the top, they start making business decisions for themselves, and out of the brain goes the thought of like what is best for, the original craft or whatever it was, and in comes the idea of like money and how can I, make more money. It's less about, everything else, and it's more about money. So I could definitely see it happening, especially, like Zach said, with with Floyd in his corner. And like, I don't know, this reminds me of, and I was thinking about this last night for some odd reason. There's this quote by like Steve Harvey, I think, and it's like, money doesn't change people, it just makes you more of who you really are. And so I think that's gonna, that's what's gonna happen here. And it's what happens for everyone. And I think for most people, money really exposes you to be just, listen, I just want the green. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's also Carmelo Mouton's decision. I mean, yeah, you have Floyd in your corner, but it's up to him. So I guess we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, especially when you mix business with pleasure. And when I mean business, I mean money. When I mean pleasure, it means something like basketball or football. You have to find a happy medium, right? You want guys to grow to a point where they're able to feed their families, but at the same time, it's almost like you don't want them to be bigger than the sport that created them. So you still get what you want, and it's this constant tug and pull. And maybe a guy like Carmelo Melton's able to get that happy medium. We're gonna have to see as his career goes forward. 18 years of age, he is a killer. But another guy who gets swept under the rug a lot because he's older and because his name doesn't have as much notoriety as an Abdullah Mason or Carmelo Melton is Keyshawn Davis, 25 years of age. But you see him on social media, he's calling everybody out. He just called out Frank Martin coming off of his loss against Gervonta Tank Davis. I love everything about Keyshawn Davis. He'll box you up. Kind of reminds me of like a Sugar Ray Leonard or Pernell Whitaker, because there's that switch, particularly in those two guys. Like, they're graceful fighters, elite footwork, exceptional head movement. But if you want to turn this into a fight, if you want to take this from a boxing match into a fight, they have that savage mode with they could turn it on. And Keyshawn Davis has that. I love the way he calls out everybody, but it's still respectful. I mean, he keeps boxing gentlemen, and he knows how to keep it. He knows how to keep it clean, if you get what I'm saying. So, Keyshawn Davis, guys. I mean, like, what are your initial thoughts on him? Do you guys like him as a fighter? I mean, where do you think he goes in terms of the lightweight division? Because again, Abdullah Mason's also in the division. He's coming up, and lightweight's already stacked. Guys, where are we with Keyshawn Davis?
You said it. I love the Frank Martin call out because it's a guy coming fresh off of a title loss, but he fought for the title. He's a guy who fought for the title. He's a guy who's considered one of the better fighters in the sport, and he's catching him at the right time. If Frank Martin were to accept this, this may be the fight that Keyshawn Davis needs to get him to that title, and that title belongs right now to Tank Davis. And if he wants to go fight Tank, that's a tough ask. But if you can get past Frank Martin, especially in exciting fashion, Madi, you'd say it all the time, and I bring it up, I think, every week on this episode or
Yes.
on this podcast. It's
Yep.
not the way, it's not who you do it, it's the way you do it. And if he can go in there and make a statement against a Frank Martin, he's definitely up next. But I did bring it up earlier to us. We were talking about it earlier. I do think Abdul Mason is the better prospect right now than he's better than Keyshawn Davis. However, Keyshawn Davis has been very exciting lately. Every time he's in there, he looks like completely confident, always super calm. And the way he fights, he has like a swagger to it. And it looks like he's a future champ the way he fights. But that division, it's a tough ask because there are so many good fighters in that division. It's just stacked.
I do think he is ready for it. Did you see what he did to Mudwino? I mean, like the matador, like, you can't touch me. And he boxed him up gracefully. And when it got ugly, he stayed in the pocket and he was able to give it to Mudwino. Like, this kid, like, he could be such a complete fighter. Like, I mean, like, I think he's ready. I think he's ready. Some guys, you just know. It's like the osmosis of superstardom. Like, you just know that this guy has the scent. Keyshawn Davis has the scent. Will, do you have anything to say? I mean, jump in here.
Yeah, I think that not only is he a boxer, he's also an entertainer, and like the same stuff that you guys have been saying. In that last fight with Miguel Mudwino, it wasn't just, a regular boxing fight. They were getting, face to face after each rounds and, taunting each other. And you had Miguel picking him up in the middle of the match. So there's a lot of drama, and it's just like I think that's part of what makes him marketable as opposed to like the Abdullah Mason and Carmelo Mouton. Like, obviously their biggest feature is their fighting style and the fact that they're young. With Keyshawn Davis, it's a little bit different. He's just using that entertainment factor, and I think that makes up for his age and the fact that he's a few years older. I think that's something that he could take back and be like, hey, I'm older, but I can still use this to my advantage to still bring in the same or more people.
Yeah, and he's like you said, he's an entertainer. He's one of those guys that's so good that it's frustrating to his opponent. That's why he was getting picked up and almost body slammed in his last fight, because it's just frustrating the way he fights, because he's so good and he's taunting you in your face. And when I say he has that swagger when he fights, he's just cool, calm, and collected all the time. That same night, he was in the corner for his brother's fight, who fought on the earlier prelims, and he was in there coaching him up in the locker room, like not even concerned at all about his own fight, just coaching his brother and just being cool about it. And then goes back to the locker room and they're interviewing him, and he only wants to talk about his brother's fight, not his own. And I think that's just, he's a star in the, he, not a star in the making. He already is a star. I'm just going to say it like that. He's a star. And I think if he can go out there and beat Frank Martin, he could be a superstar.
And again, a lot of people don't realize how young he is. I know 25 isn't 20 or 18, but get this, he's low miles, right? When Deontay Wilder first entered the scene, I mean, he entered, I believe he was already in his 30s, 30, 31, 32, maybe, but he was very, very low miles. The guy had just started, he was a fresh face in the game. And you see that now that Deontay Wilder, well, now that he has fallen off, I mean, he's approaching 40 and he's still in the game and he's still Deontay Wilder, not what we thought he was, but some semblance of it. And he's still one of the better heavyweights in the world. And I think that's something that Keyshawn Davis will be able to accomplish. 25 years old, you're just now starting to hear of his name. And he could go until he's 40. I think there will be a chance where we see him and Abdullah Mason one time in the ring, or any of these lightweights, a Loma or a Frank Martin's gonna happen, or even maybe even a Tank. So he's gonna be around for a long time and he's gonna capture a lot of hearts while he's here. But guys, I think that's going to be the end of this episode. Kind of a shorter episode here. Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
Before we do that, I think we maybe want to preview just quickly that
Okay. I thought we were going to save. Okay, let's do it.
I know we're talking boxing, and is it fair to just call him a YouTuber boxer now? Or is he
He's
a real
good. You
boxer?
know
That's
what?
the question.
Scratch everything I said. Let's talk some Jake Paul, Zach Cordova. Take it away. What do you want to say?
Oh man, I mean, Jake Paul versus Mike Perry. Listen, guys, if Jake Paul wins this fight,
Okay.
is it fair to still call, like I said, is it fair to still call him a YouTuber boxer?
I
Because
think
Mike Perry's as real as it gets when you come to a fighter. I mean, we're talking about
he's as real as
the
it gets as it comes to a fighter, but not as real as it gets as it comes to a boxer. I think that's the real question around Jake. Jake is good.
Yeah, but I
Jake
want to,
Paul
but
is
that's
good.
been the question, is I want to see Jake fight somebody who actually wants to fight him, who actually wants to win against him. And Mike Perry doesn't care. Mike Perry is, what is he? I don't remember what his belt is called in BKFC. Anybody who's crazy enough to go fight at BKFC has respect in my book. And Mike Perry is somebody who's going to bring the fight to him.
This
He's
is
going to bring the
true.
fight to Jake. He's not going to let him. He's not going to let him dance around. He's not going to let him do all of his normal stuff. He's not going to let him showboat the whole time. And Mike Perry's not a 50-year-old retired MMA guy.
Nope.
The guy who's actively fighting in BKFC and taking the world by storm because of his fight style, because he's always fought the same. He's the guy at the UFC who showed up with nobody in his corner, just his girlfriend, just because he knows how to fight. And he does the same thing every time he fights. I'm going to get in your face and I'm going to make it nasty. And I would love to see him go and take out Jake Paul. But I also would be interested to see if Jake Paul is able to earn his respect this weekend.
What I will say about Jake Paul is this. Back in 2019, when he first started his boxing career, I believe now he's like 10 fights into his career, six knockouts. He said he wanted a Canelo fight, and that was never going to happen unless he was able to climb that tree. And there's a whole bunch of fights that you have to go to. First, you got to fight a boxer. Then you got to fight a boxer who's a naturally good counter puncher. Then a guy who can actually box, and then this, and then that, and then that. And it would have taken a bunch of other years to get to the Canelo fight. But at some point, even before a guy is a champion or even before he's even a serious name, you gotta admit when he has skills. Jake is good. Jake has boxing skills. I know his last win against Ray Borland was against a 50-year-old, 40-year-old guy who was driving Uber. But once upon a time, Ryan Borland, excuse me, was a boxer. And those skills just don't go away. The last thing to go away from you is your ability to fight. And he was able to put him away. And still, these are names. Nate Diaz, Tommy Fury, Anderson Silva, T Wood twice, Ben Askren. These are fighters. Now he just has to make that crossover to fighting a real boxer. And then I think some point down the future, 26 years of age, 6 foot one, good size, 76 inch reach. 9-1 with 6 KOs. I think some point it will pick up slowly. And whether you like it or not, Jake Paul will eventually be a name in the boxing world. So things could get interesting really, really quick if he beats Mike Perry. I'll say that. Will, really quickly, anything to add?
I think that this fight is fairly, excuse me,
Yeah.
fairly evenly matched. I think could go either way. I think Jake Paul is a lot on the line here because of everything you've already said.
Yeah.
I think he obviously his opponent has more of the experience advantage with the bare knuckle fighting and UFC, and he's I feel like he's got more of the size advantage, the reach advantage. So I think it all balances out. I think that this one might honestly just come down to who wants it more, and if Jake's gonna be able to put away his taunting and his antics and just be like, all right, this is a lot of my boxing reputation, all that on the line. Let me just focus in, dial in, and make sure I come out of here with a W. So I think that's what I really think it's gonna come down to, because I don't see either one of these guys with a massive advantage.
This is Mike Perry we're talking about, and the thing that
Yeah.
he wants most out of this is Jake was supposed to fight Mike Tyson, and that's being rebooked. And I saw Mike Perry talking about, if I go out there and knock Jake Paul, do I get to fight Mike Tyson?
No,
That's
please.
what he wants, and that's what he's going for. Listen, Mike does not care. That is the one thing we've learned about him as a fighter, is he does not care, and he will go out there and try to knock out Jake, no matter how much money Jake's giving him, anything. He will go out there and try to take his head off. And it's going to be an interesting fight. I think it's going to be an exciting one. I honestly can't wait. I kind of want to find out what Jake's made of this week.
Interesting. It makes you kind of go, huh? The implications here are very, very, very steep. I mean, like, it's something to look
Okay.
at.
Well,
Just keep it a side eye. Just give it a side eye. It's going to be a really, really good fight. That's going to be the end of this episode. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for joining in on this week's installment of Pound for Pound. I have been Mahdi Dembele, and like a good 1-2, I have Zach Cordova and William Jing. Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports. Thank you. Have a good day and good game.